Darren.
Hello.
So nice to meet you.
Finally. Finally.
Yes. So it's Pride Month.
It is.
And
it is.
I have a lot of friends in that community, and just meeting you recently and not even hearing your story yet, but I know that there's something there.
What lies beneath?
Yes. So tell me a bit about yourself. This is kind of like an introduction, you know, to me and your story. So, yeah.
First, thank you for asking me to do this.
Yes, it's an honor to do this.
The Pride Month thing is, it means a lot to me.
Right on.
And my community.
Yes.
So, about myself. Yes, right. I was going to wear a rainbow one. I couldn't find one.
Oh, what?
I know. That's a story for another day.
Okay.
So I grew up in small town, Central Alberta. Like very small town. 700 people.
Okay, tell me, because I went to high school, a junior high, in a small town. I could be close to you.
It's like west of Red Deer.
Oh, okay.
Like between Silver Lake and Rocky Mountain House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The little town that we don't speak of.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I grew up there, and I never felt like I didn't fit in. I just felt everyone else didn't fit in. Like, I was me.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of bullying. There wasn't a lot of teasing. I didn't think I was gay. Because to me, gay meant I wore panties. And I didn't do that. You know, I played hockey. I did rodeo. Like, I did stuff that...
The small town stuff.
Yeah, it was... I won't say good friends, but I was friends with the girls. And all through school, like, the guys wanted to be me because, like, I was friends with girls.
Yeah.
But there's not that...
Yeah.
I just want to be their friends.
Yeah.
Right? So, I experimented, but I didn't see it as experimenting.
Right.
I just thought, you know, this is what everyone's doing.
Yeah.
By the time I hit junior high, senior high, you know, gym locker room, it's like, yes. So yeah. I knew that, okay, something, but I thought that was the norm.
Right.
I didn't know what gay people were. The way I phrased that, I had never met a gay person, so I didn't know that I was gay.
Right.
And I'd seen them on TV. I'd seen them portrayed in movies, and that wasn't who it was. I would be with guys. I would be with girls. I guess by all definition, I was bisexual, but I didn't even know what that was.
Right.
To me, that was someone who couldn't make up their mind.
Right.
So, I went to school, got a degree. I met a woman, wonderful woman. We had a kid together. I was happy. And you know how some people say being gay is just a phase? For me, being straight was my phase. That was my phase. Just before we were supposed to get married, we had a son. There was going to be a marriage, and I just thought, you know, I just had that inner desire, is the best way to describe it. So I went out to the one and only gay bar in Red Deer, and I hooked up. And I felt like something was filled.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So this is hard for me to talk about. I haven't said often. I went back home that night and thought, how do I get out of this? How do I get... I had a son. I had a wife that... Not that I wanted, but my family wanted me to have.
Right.
I had the first grandson. First great-grandson. Like, it was... And... For me, it was hard to... be that. And I couldn't do it... I didn't want to do it to her.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it to him. Like, I didn't want to live that life, but then... 4 years later, you know, I leave an unhappy marriage because I've been miserable the whole time. So I did, at the time, in my mind, the right thing, and I can't do this. Can't do it. I told her why, and she thought I had an affair with a woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? Like, who would do that? Like, I'm like, who? Why would I lie about seeing the guy? Like, mm-hmm. It's. So, but didn't end well. But there was a part of me, and this is where I'm not proud. There's a part of me that's like, oh, I'm free. I don't have that responsibility. I don't have to worry about raising, helping raise him. And,
yeah.
You know, I can be who I want. So I moved to Calgary.
Oh.
And it was a big move. But in Calgary, I was with my people.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what my people were.
Okay.
Because I was trying to fit into what the bar scene for, or the mm-hmm. party scene, club scene. And, like, going to the squishes, going to Safeway, the produce department, hoping you meet some cute guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Like, it's, for me, my life wasn't happening the way I'd seen it happen right. on movies, right? And that was the only gay life I'd seen, bars. Eventually, I did meet someone. We were friends. Keep in mind, this is the 90s, mm-hmm. where we don't talk about
right.
it. It's not. We were roommates.
Yeah.
I believe everyone has that one person, and he was that one person. Like, I realize that now. He was the victim of a hate crime, and he passed away.
I'm so sorry.
And because of laws back then didn't, I wasn't family. I didn't get to say goodbye. And just to back up a bit, in my childhood, my dad passed away when I was young. There was abuse from an uncle. Everything was just, and I was starting to figure out, men don't stay. They don't stay. So I'm going to do what it takes to make them stay. I can make them love me.
Yeah.
I think I have to do what they want. For years, I was okay doing it, but I was living a split life.
Mm.
Like, my friends and family knew I was gay. I think I told you this before. I've been referred to as, and pardon the word, a homophobic homo.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't like what I was being represented as out there.
Mm.
I remember my first gay pride parade, and I'm like, and I would see different floats go by, and I'm like, where's the representation for the farm boy who played hockey and did rodeo? Where's that?
Yeah.
And I started having an internal issue with the word pride in front of something.
Mm.
Because in the Bible, and I am the last person to be preaching anything from the Bible, trust me. Pride's one of the deadly sins. And I'm tying all that together. I'm like, that label of pride or gay.
Mm-hmm.
People would refer to me as my gay friend Darren. No, I'm just your friend Darren.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've tried to live my life as, I am Darren who happens to be gay. I'm not gay Darren.
Yeah.
If something was, oh, it's, we're having Pride Night at a bar, I'm not going. You know? When I was in rodeo, they have a gay rodeo in Calgary, and it's great, it's wonderful, it's all inclusive. My thing was, why can't you just be gay in a regular rodeo? Because I could.
Yeah.
It's because, and it's weird, growing up in a small town, you would think I encountered a lot of prejudices,
yeah.
a lot of hate. I'm looking back, it was there, but they never externalized it, they never
yes.
said towards
yeah.
me, right? But I did stuff, I worked, everything I did, people knew I was gay, but it wasn't who I was.
Right.
It wasn't, I didn't make that my identity.
Yes, yeah.
And then eventually, it was very lonely. Because I didn't fit in the gay culture.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fit in a straight culture. And I was on a self-imposed island. I put myself there.
Mm.
So it's like, and my whole life been like, I want that one person again.
Yeah.
And throughout 20 years of living in Calgary, I had experienced a bad experience with other gay men. So I'm like, you know what? I just want to be friends with a straight dude. I just want that bro, right? But I didn't know how to communicate with other men. It wasn't in a sexual way. Because when I was younger, I used that as my strength to get attention to.
Yeah.
People would like me. So I wanted a straight friend. But that island I was on, I wanted people to come from the island and be me from both islands instead of me. And I felt I had to pick one or the other.
Oh.
And so I picked the negative side of the gay community. And don't get me wrong, that's not the community. They're I'm going to say we are a loving, accepting community.
Yeah.
There are the extremists.
I didn't know that.
Maybe extremist is not the word. Because when I grew up, homophobic and hate speech means something totally different than it does now. Like, I would get called the F word and thrown in a locker. That's okay for me.
Yeah.
Right? So today, if I get called, someone uses, my nephew one time used the word with his mom. He said, "Mom, that's so gay." He said, "You can't say that." I'm like, "Well, no, it's kind of gay." Like, I have no problem with that. Today, some of them do. And I'm thinking, that's not homophobic. To me, that's not. And I have to realize that what words affect some people may not affect others.
Right.
When I looked up, like, when I started actually researching what Pride was about, and I would ask younger, I don't say younger generation, like I'm an old timer. We're not going to talk about how old I am. And they didn't know. They didn't know what they were celebrating. And I thought, and I would ask them, "Do you know what Stonewall is? Do you know what this? Why we're doing this?" And one young man said to me, "It's so that people know we're here."
Yeah.
This is like 4 years ago. I'm like, "You know what? You've shown them you're here.
Yeah.
Very well. They know we're here.
Yeah.
Sit back and just let them." And that's kind of where I'm at with, for me, an old-timer gay man, I'm learning from them that they're where they're at because of the struggles I went through. Not me. I'm not that old. I was out marching in 1969. But because of, it's easier, in my eyes, it's easier to be gay now than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And 30 years ago, it was easier than it was 60 years ago. It's getting better.
Yes.
But they're in there now. And in there now, it sucks. It sucks. Like, kids are, they don't want to be here because of being unaccepted. It's not that I never wanted to be here. I wanted to be in a different here. I needed to escape my here.
Okay.
And I found a way to do that. And I could be accepted within the gay community. And I could accept what was happening in the gay community with substances. And when the two of them came together, and my world was okay. You know what? I was okay doing stuff that I thought, like, stuff that I never thought I would do.
Right.
Crossing lines and just, but I was okay with it because that's what we did in the gay community.
Right.
I had no examples of what we didn't do. I lived in Calgary for years, and I knew a select group of people. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine about how if we're with a group of people that only know one way, then we're only going to know that one way.
Right.
So, to me, that's what being gay was about. But my upbringing, like, not religious, but spiritual. Like, I'm spiritual, really. Rural, Central Alberta.
Right.
Like, they did not mix.
Yeah.
So, I have a mask on, and I have a job, and there's another mask.
Yes.
The masks were easier with substances.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's like in and out of the mask a lot easier. I want to say to me, being gay was never a struggle on the outside. I haven't had a struggle with society. Uh-huh. My struggle with being gay is in here. It's right. A me thing.
Oh, interesting.
That's the homophobic homo.
Okay.
A lot of self-loathing because I didn't like who I was representing myself in this community. Uh-huh. I didn't like the community. The community made me, as an addict, which I just I'm a recovering addict, want to blame everyone. Nothing's my fault. Uh-huh. So for many years, it was just like floundering, and I was looking for that one person. And just back up, after he passed away, I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't, like, as far as my family, like, he was your roommate. What is the big deal?
Oh, wow.
Like, friends. Up until just over 2 years ago, I was in a treatment center, and we told our story. And when I said it out loud there, mm-hmm. It became real.
Wow.
I never grieved him. Like, he was always just like, I wouldn't talk about him to people. Like, I didn't know how to refer to him. Like, am I a widow? Am I a widower? Like, he's not my ex.
Yeah.
Being in recovery right now, and this kind of sidetracking, but it's on this topic as well. Being okay with who I am now as a gay man, I'm okay with that. That I'm a gay man.
Good.
I'm okay with the fact that the younger generation are okay, I'm hopefully okay with who they are.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Mm-hmm. If I have to go through crap to make just so other people's lives can be better, then maybe that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the almighty savior.
Yeah.
A friend of mine. Tony's getting married. And there was a part of me that was so happy he's marrying his partner. But there was a part of me inside like, screw you. How come you get your happy ending? Because I never got to have a happy ending 30 years ago. And there was a part of me that was just really angry with him. And it was hard to be happy for someone. But I wasn't angry at him, I was angry for me. I was sad for me. And I remember saying to my counselor, this couldn't happen if all that stuff didn't happen before that they don't know about.
Right.
Like, and I used to tell the younger generation, your life is so easy now, you have no idea. You can hold hands in public, you can. And that's like my grandpa saying, we used to walk uphill school and snow both ways.
Yeah.
You don't know how easy you have it now. You have a rotary dial phone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to yell across the field.
Yeah.
So I tried to stop doing that, and in doing that, I become more okay with who I am. I don't have to change their life. Yeah. I don't have to make them see my perspective. I hope this will help.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous doing this. I'm not even looking at the camera. You know, I'm looking at you. I'm hoping that this puts some. I heard someone else say on one of your podcasts, and it resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of the community, but I'm not part of the community, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, there's parts that I identify with, there's parts that I don't identify with.
Yeah.
And it's hearing that person on that podcast that you did say that, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm not the only one. Not the one who feels this way.
Yeah.
And there's an age group where we feel like, you don't know. And you had actually asked Mary about the Pride Parade. And I said, I think it's in August.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived in Calgary, it was Pride weekend. It was a September long weekend.
Oh, wow.
And It used to be June, but because it rained, they canceled it and they moved it. And I'm like, you know what? They didn't move Stonewall to September because of the rain. Like, and to me, my perception was it just became a summer-long circuit party.
Yeah.
And I was taking part. I would take part in that. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah.
But I was also bring the drugs and alcohol in.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to segue a little bit here now. Being a silent mentor, I hope, can be in the gay community. Like, I'm not going to tell how to do it. I'm just like, look, this is what works for me. Like, being able to talk to someone who, because someone does get it. I thought no one got it. I thought, like, there was no one else in Central Alberta who was gay.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised that there was a community there.
Yeah.
A community here. And I'm going to get a lot of that. I might get my gay card taken away for saying this. For a community that wants to be so accepted, they're very divisive.
Yeah.
They can be.
Okay.
Like, this community doesn't like what this one does.
Yeah.
And very, my experience with it is some of them don't want you to succeed more than they are.
Oh.
Yeah. There are some who, I know there are some who, like, good for you.
Yeah.
I thought I was one of those good for you ones.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my friends, they could get married. I'm like, you know what? No. Being in recovery for the past years has made me so much more. I'm going to say this, and people who watched me while he said it, I'm starting to love who I am.
Oh, good.
Not like it, not accept it.
Yeah.
It's for so long, it's like, you know, I'm gay, accept it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Like, when I was using, I loved it, but that's not what I loved.
Yeah.
It's because I didn't have to be. It's funny because people are like, oh, we saw a rainbow, we thought of you. I'm like, okay. Like, and I was going to come today with a rainbow shirt on. One, I couldn't find it. And second is, and I didn't want to be represented as the rainbow.
Yeah.
So, how I met you is actually through a common friend. Him and I are starting the venture, a nonprofit venture, where again, through mentoring, we can let people know they're not alone. It's, I think it's a big thing, the connection of humanity. Like, how are you doing? Are you okay? I'm fine. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, and you know what? Don't lie to me because I've been there.
Yeah.
My friend and I, we started both in recovery.
Uh-huh.
I have 2 years, 4 months and 7 days right now.
Yeah.
So long as I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
It's called, I'm going to do a shameless plug here if you don't mind. It's called Healthy Online Living.
Yay.
HAL for short.
Yeah.
We work with youths who need that leg up. Where they,
yeah.
It's a safe space to give them direction on life skills, how to move beyond where they're at.
Right.
And I mean, you make a comparison with the gay community. I felt stuck where I was at. Because I didn't know there was anything beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
That was everything. My commonality was with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let youth in mental health, addiction, homelessness, spiritual struggles.
Yeah.
We all have them.
Yeah.
And I think what we're doing in this safe space is giving a place to just be who they are.
I love that.
Because I know you're going to end this question. If I had a space to just be who I was, and not question who I was, like, how can I ride a steer and, like, be gay? Like, and a space to just be who I am. And I want to make clear this Healthy Online Living is not, it's not directed at the gay community.
Yeah.
It's open to everyone.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my experience as a teacher, a recovering addict, a member of the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got.
Yeah.
And my my need to want to tell people. When I was approached for this project, my world just like opened up.
Oh, nice.
This is my passion.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I had a partner who put all the legwork in and hit the ground running. So can I give him a plug?
Yeah.
My good friend Andre, my brother, who I met in treatment, him and I are doing this together. Check out the website, www.healthylineliving.com. Good things to come. We're located, actually, where we're doing the podcast right now, at the Edmonton Senior Center, the Old General Hospital.
And when's your first, you got your first opening, like, the day?
I'm glad you asked, because I told you about that.
Yeah.
July 5th, Saturday.
Yes.
From 1 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
I'm looking at for guys here, because I'm all over the place this week.
Yeah.
So, there will be, we're just starting, but it's not going to be all the programs we have to offer, but we will offer, we're looking at getting a youth pastor, registered addiction counselors, and it can be all volunteer time. It's very trauma-based. I believe that a lot of people don't realize the trauma they've been through.
Yeah.
Until they hear that my whole life, technically, I'm a walking book of trauma. I just thought shitty things happen to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
I was actually telling friends of mine, like, do you know there are people out there who, they remember their childhood? And so I'm trying to bring all of our knowledge. There's a lot of people that are working on this. And we want to make it not your typical drop-in hangout. We have the pool table here. There's a shuffleboard here. There's going to be services here, but come and check it out.
Yeah.
People say to me, oh, that's great. How can I help? Someone said to me, just show up.
Yeah.
Sometimes all a kid needs to do.
Yeah.
We're also going to be working, kids in the senior center, it's a bridging the gap type program.
Yeah.
See, now you see I'm El Paso. I'm here to talk about Pride Week, but I'm like,
yeah. No, we got to talk about the work you're doing.
Yes. It's with the seniors and the youth, just bridging a gap, because I'm not a senior, but I do know the older I get, the more I like to talk about myself. And kids like to hear that. Like,
yeah.
And it's the other thing I said, like, seniors like to bake things, and kids like to eat cookies.
Yes.
So I'm not like, it's. And I'm hoping that we can bridge the gap that way.
Yes.
And kids just need, one thing I learned as a teacher is every kid is different. And if you attack every kid, every youth with the same approach, you're going to lose 75% of them.
Right.
And I think we have enough people on our team where it's, we can approach each one as more of an individual basis. What do you need?
Yeah.
What do you need?
Yeah.
They may not need the same thing. And again, I can't stress enough, it's trauma-based spiritual healing. And spirituality, for me, spirituality, it's a goose.
Yep.
My partner that passed away, he used to call me Maverick. I called him Goose.
Oh, nice.
And for me, I see a goose.
Yeah.
That's my higher power.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I'm not going to get preaching a higher power and that, because that turns a lot of people off. If I had had that when I was growing up, all it does is tell me that I'm okay who I am.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I said those words either, because it... Sorry. I'm okay who I am.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I am enough.
Yes.
Sometimes, ask people who I live with, I can be too much.
That's okay, too.
But you know what? I'm enough, and that's all that matters. And hopefully we can let other kids know, other youth know that they are enough.
That's awesome.
And the potential in them.
That's awesome. Okay, Before we go, I want to ask you one important question.
Yeah.
What matters to you, Darren?
Human connection.
Mm.
Knowing that Everyone needs to know that they are important.
Yeah.
They're here for a purpose. I know I'm here for a purpose because there's many times I see my drug and alcohol use that I should not be here.
Yeah.
And finding a purpose. And once you find that purpose, don't give it up.
Yeah.
Eventually things will fall in place. So what matters most to me is just knowing that people are enough.
Yeah.
Humanity, compassion, empathy. Just listen.
Well done. Well, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.